Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. Thus magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in the Lord my Savior. My spirit praise his name. My soul does magnify the Lord. And there is a rhema in that scripture. Everything that your soul will do is a function of what your spirit has already done. So she said, my soul magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced. I was listening to one of our word encounter sermons yesterday. And I, you know, when you are speaking under the anointing, it's even from when you are speaking with your own understanding. There is something, if the Lord has called you to teach, he will give you an anointing to teach. Just like if he has called you to prophesy, he will give you an anointing to prophesy. And I heard, one of the things I heard in that sermon was that I said, I was expressing my opinion. I said, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That you see that there are two hearings there. That there is a hearing that brings about faith. I was now trying to explain. I said, see, the Bible says in 1 John that you have the anointing and you don't need that anyone should teach you. He said, because the anointing teacheth you all things. What is he talking about there? He's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit that is tabernacled in your spirit. And that is, there is an educational system that the Holy Spirit does to your spirit. Amen. It doesn't mean that you know it with your mind or with your soul, your mind. But what happens is that when you come to a place like this and you hear the word of God, even though you have never heard it in that fashion before, if it is truly the word of God, if the person is truly speaking by the Holy Spirit, your spirit will bear witness with it that it is true. It will be as if you have always known it, even though you had never heard that truth before. The reason is because even though your mind does not know it, and that's why you need the office, the ministry of teachers, pastors, and all of that, your spirit already knew it, and your spirit was looking for the opportunity. So your spirit has heard it the first time. Amen? The second time is when you hear with your ear. You understand what I'm saying? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why faith, you know, faith, just like wisdom, is spiritual. There are many things that are mental. Many things, like imagination is mental. Amen? But faith is spiritual. If you don't, the thing with faith is that you either have faith or you don't have it. The best you can do is to position yourself in such a way in which faith will come to you. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What I'm saying is, because what we are doing here now, there are not very many in this room. Some people have joined live stream. I've not even, let me monitor it. Because that was how one time we were not streaming and I thought we were streaming. The reason why I'm using this funny microphone is because we are doing live streaming, via the internet. And, you saw me pressing my phone. I wasn't playing a game. I was sending notifications to remind people of the live stream. One of the things that we are doing here is to build faith in your heart. There are many things that God wants to bring you into as a child of God that you need a measure of faith to enter it. For example, Mary. When the Lord came, the angel of God came to speak to Mary. You can sit down. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When the angel of God came to speak to Mary, you may not have noticed if you read that for the first time. But when the angel of God came to tell Mary about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the angel of God was trying to do was to get Mary to believe and to accept. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
In order for God to operate in this our realm, He needs your faith. He needs the faith of people. And just in case there is nobody to have faith for Him to operate, He will come and have faith. Because God can also show up. And it's not only, before Jesus came, God used to show up in creation. The Bible says that the heavens and the earth are the works of His fingers. Who do you think, you know that the way you will carry clay and form pots, you know, when we're in primary school, they used to give us assignments in fine arts, or I don't know, creative arts. They say we should mold pots, we should mold table, we should mold all of that. I hope you know that in a more efficient and excellent manner, that was the way Jesus Christ literally molded you and me. That is pre-incarnate Jesus. He came into this physical world and He manifested in what we will call physical. So when the Bible talks about how He formed man, He's not literally formed man. And after He did that, He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life and man came alive. And just, you know that if anybody dies now and their body begins to decompose, it will go back to sand. And do you also know that even the heavens and the earth are the works of His fingers? That is, He literally formed the earth. Psalm 8 talks about how that the heavens and the earth are the works of His fingers. So what happened in Genesis chapter 1? God spoke. Amen? And then, God, the Word, the Creator of all things, went into action to start forming things. God does not bore us with all of, we have the whole of, after the resurrection, we have a long time to understand the details of the way this earth was formed and the heavens were formed. But God just gives us summary of summary in Genesis chapter 1. I had a very long conversation with one of our directors in Stream Globe this week because we were discussing whether, me and you have had that discussion before, whether animals have spirit. All of a sudden, it just became a big issue. Do animals have spirit? And he was trying to prove to me that the same way that the breath of God sustains man is the same breath of God that sustains animals. I said, okay. Now, there's actually a scripture that says that God released His breath into all of creation. Because that thing called life is a function of God. And anyway, we got to a point where we say, okay, so to be safe, I said, it's safer to say animals have souls, but they don't have spirits. Because you know that thing called soul is also intangible. In fact, many times you can mistake a soul with a spirit. I hope you know that. Because there's actually a part, there's something that makes things alive that is intangible that came from God. What I'm just trying to explain was that even in order for God to create, in order for life to be, you know the Bible says in Him is life. He needed to come and demonstrate faith. There is something the Bible refers to as the faith of God. Amen? What I'm saying is that there are many things that Jesus will want to do in people's lives that Jesus cannot do because they did not believe. And He needs them to believe. That's why as a Christian, one of the best things you can do is to be in an environment where you are hearing the word of God. Listen to message, because faith comes by hearing. When the angel came to tell Mary that she was going to conceive and all of that, you know one very remarkable thing that happened with Mary that is different from Zachariah was that the angel told her and she believed it. The angel first of all, you know the angel told her that Elizabeth, who she knew, Elizabeth was her relative, was barren. She was probably in her 60s or 70s. Some people say she was in her 80s. But she was old. She had entered menopause. That she's a pregnant. And Mary believed it. And one of the proofs that Mary believed it was that Mary went to visit Elizabeth. Because you know they didn't have telephone that time. Elizabeth couldn't send Mary a text message that I'm pregnant. Amen. But the Holy Spirit told her that the angel told her that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her and then she will conceive. And you know what Mary said? The first question she asked, how can these things be? Since that I have never known a man. And the angel explained to her. And you know what she said? She said, I am the servant of God. I am the handmaid of God. Be it unto me according to your word. And so it was. Zechariah, on the other hand, Baba Zechariah, The angel of God appeared to him. I don't know whether and then the angel of God told him that his wife, this actually happened before that same angel appeared to Mary. Told him that his wife was going to conceive and all that. You know what Zachariah said? In short, he did not believe. He didn't, because probably even him, he considered the deadness of his body. He probably couldn't even sleep with his wife again. Because it's something that happens to old people. You know, when God was promising Abraham that Abraham will have Sarah, the Bible says Abraham was dead. Sarah too was menostop. And then the angel said, okay, since you did not believe what I said to you, you will be dumb. As soon as he became dumb, at least he knows that the angel that said he would be dumb and he was dumb. Every other thing that the angel said, he will now believe it. May you not learn faith by the things you suffer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So the angel said he would be dumb and he became dumb. So he knew that, no. So what the angel said is true. Now I believe. I no longer doubt. If you read that story, the first time so many times I read the story, I felt that Angel Gabriel was acting on his own, that he got angry. Let me tell you something about God. God knew what Zechariah was going to say. The Bible says I'm trying to remember that phrase the Bible uses. He examines the reins of the heart. He always measures your faith level. So he knows what you will hear and you will believe and what you will not believe. I first of all believe that angel acted on his own, but after further study, and when I say further study and meditation, I say no. They knew that Zacharias will say that thing he said. And so they said, okay, in order to help his faith, make him dumb. When he's dumb, he will no longer doubt anything that comes out of your mouth, Gabriel. You see, I am trying to explain to you that in order for you to receive things from God, you need to have faith. And faith is you cannot sit down and generate faith. Faith comes. And the way faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. He says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are we together? You are the one doing what no man can do. How excellent is your name. You are the one doing what no man can do. How excellent is your name, O Lord, O Lord. I see a vision. My God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name, O Lord, O Lord, our God. How excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name. Let's read. I want to just show you a scripture so that we know how important faith is. And then we'll go into our topic. And I'm not supposed to do more than 1 hour, so God will have to help us. Mark chapter 6 verse 6. Let me start from verse 5. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief and went round about the villages teaching. Jesus Christ went to his village. And the Bible says he could do no mighty works. Jesus, the one that had a spirit without measure, he went to his village. And the Bible says, recorded, it's also recorded in Matthew, so that you will know that it was well documented, that he went to his village and he could. It didn't say he did not want to. He says he could do no mighty works except to lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And the Bible says he marveled at their unbelief. And what did he do next? He went about teaching them, because It is the teaching of God's word that increases the faith in an environment. Somebody may read that and say, no, that thing must have been wrongly translated. Except that it was recorded in Matthew again. I think Matthew chapter 13. And the same thing was said. He could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. There are many things that God... Amen. You know, he said, is my heart too short to deliver? He said, no. He said, but your iniquities... And let me tell you one thing about iniquity. The prime among iniquity is unbelief. Unbelief is a function. Okay, we have entered our study. There is something, there is a link, and I pray the Lord will help us establish a little bit of that. There is a link between iniquity and unbelief that is a very, very potent link. The Bible says, holding, if you read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, it says, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some haven't neglected. What did he neglect? Conscience. Good conscience. And as a result, they had what? A shipwreck of their faith. You'll be wondering that what is the connection between conscience and faith? That is what I'm trying to express to you, that there is a connection between iniquity and unbelief and righteousness and faith. You want your faith to grow, walk in righteousness. You have received the gift of righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the reason why even when you sin, you can come to God and pray that God will forgive you and God will hear you. If you don't know the things of heaven, you couldn't do that in the Old Testament. If you sinned, it is somebody that had the right standing with God by a life of consecration that would make atonement for you. The priests were sentenced to a consecrated life so that they will be making atonement for the people. And there were all kinds of offering. There was sin offering and guilt offering. But you could not make those offerings for yourself because you didn't have a level of right standing with God to do that. And it took a lot for God to accomplish that, let me not say pseudo level, but that shadow level of right standing that the Levites had, especially the children of Aaron, in order for them to make intercession. But you just sin, and then you go to God and say, Father, forgive me, and God forgives you. The reason is because you have a gift of righteousness. So you can still approach the throne of God and ask for mercy. But please, when you don't just stop at mercy, you also receive grace. Find grace to help you in time of need. He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain, or that we may receive mercy and find grace. Because if you receive mercy and you don't find grace, you will go back and commit that sin. And you will come back and cry again. The difference between receiving and finding. What do you do to receive? You ask. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. But what do you do to find? Seek. Many people don't know how to seek. They only know how to receive. And that's why they will come and receive mercy, and they sincerely regretted for that sin that they committed. But they didn't know how to seek and find grace. Because what grace does is that grace is an empowerment to ensure that you don't go back to that sin. So 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. That is mercy. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that is actually a work of grace. Because cleansing from all unrighteousness is cleansing you from that propensity and tendency that will make you to go back to sin. He said that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. With what do you find grace? Because you cannot really talk about grace without talking about faith. The way by which you connect to grace is by faith. That's why scripture says you are saved by grace. True faith. So how do you find grace? You find grace through the light of God's word. If I want to explain, if the Lord permits me, and I'm going to have to do a lot of study so that I will not come and be saying things that are not accurate. If the Lord permits us, maybe, I don't know, even if we can't do it here physically, I will still do it. A teaching on the book of Hebrews. Because the book of Hebrews is our own book of Leviticus in the New Testament. You know, they had Leviticus in the Old Testament. And what was in the book of Leviticus was that it was the book of Leviticus that taught the priests how to be priests. It was the book of Leviticus that told them how to do this sacrifice and that sacrifice. The sacrifice you do that will make somebody that is unclean accidentally to be clean. Amen. But you see, the book of Hebrews is our own book of Leviticus. Because if you understand the book of, in fact, you see, in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about leaving the foundational teachings. Let us go on to perfection. He said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Six doctrines. He said, let us go on to perfection. You see, in that book of Hebrews, you will see some. He didn't go too far because at some point he complained that you people are still babies. He said, you are supposed to have been. But here's the point I'm making. If you look at the temple in the Old Testament, first and foremost, I want you to know that that temple that Moses built was a shadow of the temple in heaven. Amen. And the temple in heaven is still exists and is still valid. And Jesus is the high priest of that temple. Amen. Are we together? Let me say this again. That temple that Moses, do you remember that God told Moses that he will show him the temple and that the temple in heaven, and he should build according to what he saw? So the temple on the earth was a shadow of the temple in heaven. So there is actually, you notice that in the temple that Moses built, there was a mercy seat. Huh? And then you now see in the book of Hebrews, it's talking about let us approach the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that the temple had three compartments. There was the outer court, there was the holy place or the inner court, and then there was the holy of holies what was in the holy of holies? There was the ark of the covenant, and there was the staff. Inside the ark, there was the tablets and the staff of Moses that budded, and the manna, the staff of Aaron, sorry, not Moses, the staff of Aaron that budded. Now, here's the point I'm making. The outer court, which was still the temple, did not need any, it was illuminated by the light of the sun. And I will stop here because Holy Spirit, help us. The inner court, because in the tabernacle, there were curtains that were made of goat skin that separated the outer court from the inner court. What that meant was that there was no light in the inner court. So they had what they called the menorah. Remember the candle? And the Bible says those lights must never go out. So when you entered into the inner court, the light of the inner court was the light of the candlestick, the seven candlesticks. Do you remember when Revelation, John saw Jesus in the midst of the seven candlesticks? Do you know where he saw Jesus performing his priestly duty? Because remember that there were seven candlesticks. Amen? Amen. Many of you know the diagram of that candlestick. One, two, then there's one in the middle. Three here, one in the middle. Because what he saw was Jesus doing his priestly duties in the holy place. And so he saw him in the midst of are you understanding what I'm saying? So what Moses saw, remember, was a shadow of the temple that was in heaven. And there are many things that Jesus Christ is doing. Most of what Jesus Christ is doing for the church, for you now, is pertaining to your soul. It's not really pertaining to your spirit. Because the outer court corresponds to your body. The inner court or the holy place corresponds to your soul. I'm skipping. Maybe I said I will not do a teaching on Hebrews. The holy of holies corresponds to your spirit. And that's why he discovered that under the law and the prophet, there were many things that they couldn't handle, such that when some people were committing some sins that showed defilement of spirit, the only solution was to kill them. Do you notice that there was a lot of killing in the Old Testament? Somebody was caught committing adultery, kill them. One person is lazy and his laziness does not have solution, kill him. Because whenever it showed that it was signed up with demonic possession, there was no provision to deal with spiritual impurity in that old covenant. There was only provision to deal with soulish impurity. But here's the point I'm making. And this thing called an evil conscience that makes us not be able to approach God is spiritual. Conscience is spiritual. It's not just soulish. Praise the Lord. Faith. Okay, let me take this a little bit slow because I'm back to our study. Now, in order for you to walk in faith continually, you need to have your conscience dealt with. And that one, even in the old covenant, to prove that their consciences were not dealt with, they never had access to God in the dimension of the Holy of Holies. Now, some of you are now understanding why you should read the book of Leviticus and Numbers. For many years, I didn't know what those things were doing in the Bible. There are many spiritual principles because the principles, the temple has not changed though. It is from reading the book of Numbers that I knew that if a man is married to a witch and that man is a man that is born again and knows what he's doing with God, he can de-witch her without her permission. That she will just discover that she wants to fly in the night, she cannot fly. Because the book of Numbers talks about how that if a woman makes a vow to God, I know that making vow to God is not a thing of joke. And a husband has heard about it, he can override it. She went to make a covenant before God. For example, that covenant that Hannah made to God, if her husband heard of it, what was the name of that husband? Elkanah. And he did not like the covenant, he could override it and God will not be angry. Do you understand spiritual principles that Babalawos understand one third of, that they are using to manipulate people's destiny? Have you noticed that many Babalawos, when they want... in the spirit realm is a system of accusations and counter-accusations. Why do you think, when they stole my phone, you were aware when they stole my phone, two people came to approach me that, see, this thing is a very small matter. I went to pay police money to use GPS to track my phone. They say, no, there is more effective tracking. It won't cost you more than three. In fact, the first person told me it's 1.5. That when you give them 1.5, the person that stole your phone will show up. He said he will by himself come and return the phone. One. And then, if you like, you can kill him. And even if you don't kill him, he will not be normal again. Now, I hope you know that normal, to do that kind of thing to a person that did not offend you, that did not steal your thing, it is not a sacrifice of 1.5. For those of you who were in darkness before you came to light, the reason why that person's destiny will enter your hand like that is because he stole your phone. And you can carry that as a token of accusation. And you that your phone was stolen, has to be the person, even if you will not go to the Babalawo's place, you have to send your own money. So those of you that they will come and say they want to collect your, you don't want to do, you say, yeah, no, I'm a Christian, but you give them money and they want, you are partaking in the idol worship. Even by that, they can use that as a token of accusation against you one day. How did I get here? It was from Book of Numbers. There are many things when you read the Book of Numbers that you understand about spiritual protocols. When Solomon said, "Cause costless shall not stand," Solomon, he understood some spiritual things. Reading those very boring books, so to speak, to read, you understand spiritual things, spiritual protocols. And now I said our own book of Leviticus is the book of Hebrews. So I was explaining, I said, the light of the outer court is the light of the sun. The light of the inner court or the holy place is the light of the menorah, the light of the candlestick. Okay, you are going to permit me. We can't go deeper into this study for obvious reasons because I want us to finish our study. But you discover that where the mercy seat is, there is no natural light there. In fact, the Holy of Holies, there is no candlestick there. Because if there is any light that will be there, it will be the light of God's presence himself. What does this mean? I'm trying to make you to understand that by the time you are dealing with God, by the time you even enter the holy place, you need light. So when the Bible says you should come and find grace, where is the message? Let me just give us a quiz. This is word encounter. Bro Yemi, please remind me. I will ask of that next week. Where is the mercy seat? Is it in the holy place or in the holy of holies? Question one. You are not writing that one. I will ask you. Question two. Where is the shew bread? The table of the shew bread? Is it in the holy place or the holy of holies? Question two. That may have to force us to explain the significance of the shew bread. But there was always bread that was supposed to be kept there, and they were changing that bread every day. When Jesus Christ said, I am the bread that came from heaven, you think he's a... Anyway, let's... Amen. Now, the light with which you find grace is the light that comes from God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. What I am just telling you, why I'm saying all of this, that in order for you to walk in the liberty of Christ, you must find grace. Okay, let me just bring this home. There was a time in my life when I used to be very sickly. When I say I used to be very sickly, I used to be sickly. When I was in university, a lot of my days in university were characterized by sickness. Some of which I now know was an attack. It was so serious that I used to take Sunday. My father gave me Sunday medicine. I don't know if they are still available now. You know, Sunday, you're a pharmacist. Sunday medicine. One small. I'll be taking it every Sunday so that I will not fall sick. It's anti-malaria. And I will still fall sick. Till today, I don't know why. And I don't know why that was the case. But one thing I know is that at some point in my life, when I started being more diligent with the word of God and prayer, through the word of God, I found grace to help me out of that situation. Amen. And there were some scriptures that came to me, but they were scriptures I've always heard, but those scriptures came to me fresh like rhema. And I held on to those scriptures. And I came out of that situation of always falling sick. Amen.